Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is a Friday. We're on the precipice of fantastic games this weekend. Live in Los Angeles, show's called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thank you for choosing us, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Joy and I have said we're in the TV business, so people come up to Joy and I'll speak for myself here, and say, who do you want to win? Who's your favorite team? I get that a lot. Not listeners, but like random people, you know, they may not watch the show or something. Oh, you do that for a living. Who's your favorite team? And I always say, the biggest tire fire is my favorite team. Give me a star or give me a tire fire. I'm rooting for interesting. I think Joy would share that.
Yes.
We are rooting for interesting.
The content business generally.
Yeah, I have to talk. Joy and I have to talk to ourselves for 3 hours a day. 15 hours of just talk. You think we don't like your team. We don't if you're boring. If you're exciting, we love your team. It's up to you to be exciting. This is not a show in which I give everybody access to it or everybody an even shake. I talk more Chiefs, LeBron, Brady, because they're more stimulating. I talked a lot of Favre's Packers and a lot of Rodgers Packers. So this weekend, I think Joy and I believe the best Super Bowl in a perfect world, it would be Rodgers Mahomes.
For interesting. Well, for interesting and for like the best game.
I think it's the best game.
That one has everything.
Yeah, by that time, Mahomes you'd think would be healthier. Then I think Brady Mahomes, the icon and the about-to-be icon, is pretty darn good.
It's great.
The worst-case scenario, and it's really good, is Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't feel anything with Brady, and it's going to feel big. But even that game, I think of the four, is fantastic.
We can't lose this weekend.
No,
I don't think we know. We know Josh Allen yet.
There have been weekends, championship weekends. A couple years ago, the Jags were in it.
We were nervous. Let me tell you something. Last year,
when they led in that game, I was home throwing up. That I would have to talk on a Monday about the Jags and at the time, Blake Bortles.
We were nervous last year. No disrespect to Tennessee, but...
not fascinating.
Shaking in our boots.
Right. So we've been... Joy and I have been very lucky. We got the Dodgers in the World Series. We got the Lakers. We're getting a lot of this year. Brady's good. Rodgers good. Mahomes good. Like, we've been very lucky. Seattle, interesting. Weird. That's every year. So here are my picks. We don't do a blazing five. Let's start with the AFC.
Bills at Chiefs.
All right, I just told you. There's a disturbing trend for Kansas City. 26th red zone offense since week 12. Bills, number one red zone defense since week 12. Tells me it's going to be a fairly low scoring game. And it tells me there's a real possible upset. The Kansas City just settles for field goal and field goal and field goal, and Buffalo sneaks in the end and win. Here's why I like Kansas City. Number one, the last time they played, Kansas City rushed for 250 yards. Buffalo had 80. The Bills only averaged 64 yards rushing this year in the playoffs. That's half of everybody else in the playoffs. They are a very one-dimensional team. I also like the fact that not only is Kansas City at home, but they have the most combined playoff experience of any of the playoff teams. The Bills have the least. I'm going to take Kansas City to win 28-23. I don't feel terribly strong about it. I think there is the potential for an upset, but I'm going to take Kansas City to win at home, more experienced. They have at least a semblance of a running game. But that red zone stat, I can't get past it. It's a real thing. I think this game's going to be lower scoring, potential lousy weather too, than people think. Meaning, we could have a 24-20 game here, and everybody's going to be biting their nails in both cities. Let's go to the NFC.
Buccaneers and Packers.
All right. Green Bay, I think, is the best team left. They've had a different leading receiver in each of their last three games. So they're balanced throwing the ball. They had 188 yards rushing against the Rams, the most in a playoff game in the Aaron Rodgers era. So now Aaron's got his best rushing offense. I think they have the better offensive line. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, is very rare. You get all the upside with 11 total giveaways this season. That includes the playoffs. They just don't give you opportunities. How good teams often lose, and better teams often lose, is wasted opportunities or turnovers. They don't do either. They're the number one red zone touchdown offense in the NFL this year. They don't waste opportunities like Kansas City. They don't turn it over. And they dominate time of possession, number one in the NFL. So Brady's the way you lose. He won't get the ball much. Packers win. It's the game I'm betting. It's a three-point spread. I think Green Bay wins and covers 33-26. I'll take Kansas City with no conviction, none, and I'll take Green Bay with lots of conviction. For the record, my favorite bet last week was Green Bay over the Rams. Rams came hobbling in, and I just said I struggled to see how they could win. AB is out for Tampa. That is not a helper. That he created, if not, you could use him as a decoy, and he was advantage. AB has become a real part of the offense in the last month. He's out. Doesn't help. He had a good game against Washington. Some nice plays last weekend as well. All right, so one of the things, I've seen a lot of this in my life, in my broadcasting business. It's a mistake that a lot of people make. You hire somebody, it doesn't work out, and then you overcompensate as a company and you go the opposite way. I think the Jets hiring Robert Saleh, he may work, but he's the opposite of Adam Gase. And there had to be something you were attracted to Adam Gase about. Gase was moody, dark, didn't communicate, low energy. Robert Saleh's the opposite. Detroit did the same. Matt Patricia, kind of heavy set, more of a brainiac, not real. And they went and got a pro wrestler in Dan Campbell. James Bond did this. You remember it was Pierce Brosnan, who was very gadgety, very, very gadgety and finesse. And then they went out and got Daniel Craig, and he's running through fences. And that doesn't mean that the James Bond wasn't great with both, but they did, but they said, okay, this is here. We're going to go the opposite way. And I've seen companies do this my whole life. And so when I watched Detroit yesterday, I was taken back, Dan Campbell's press conference, I was taken back by, they just went and got the opposite of Matt Patricia. And my takeaway is, well, there was something about Matt Patricia you liked, and it was probably that he's really, really smart. And so here was the Dan Campbell press conference, and I do believe press conferences and your first press conference for a president, I thought Biden's inauguration speech was very strong. He kind of set the tenor of the presidency, whether you like him or not, voted for him or not. I thought it was very strong. And Adam Gase's first press conference, not good. Here was Dan Campbell. I don't think this is great.
And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
I just do not believe if you take the five or six best coaches in the NFL, that would look like their press conference. Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, Andy Reid would not be talking about biting kneecaps. I think if you look at the great coaches of all time, Don Shula wouldn't do that. Jimmy Johnson, Bill Walsh, Belichick wouldn't do that. But things happen. But I do think when you hire a new coach, you should make corrections, but not overcorrect. And it felt like they wanted a player and an alpha and a tough talking and a big energy guy who was the opposite of Matt Patricia. And I thought it was a miss. Maybe I'm wrong. And I'll say it again. Press conferences do matter. There was a guy named Howard Dean. People thought he had a chance to be president. And then this happened.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
I'm not voting for him. Press conferences matter. Brandon Staley, new coach of the Chargers, joining us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Terry Bradshaw is upping the Super 6 stakes yet again for the NFC Championship. Last weekend, he gave away his beloved all-new 2021 Ford F-150 to lucky winner Terry from Maryland.
Just saw her.
Yes. This weekend, he's giving away his other all-new 2021 Ford F-150 and $500,000 of his own money. Download the Fox Super 6 app and make your picks for your shot to win. It's completely free to play. One of the questions for the NFC Championship contest is, which team will win and by how many points, Colin? Bucks or Packers?
I think Green Bay is the better team. I think it's close and competitive. I take them probably 6 or 7, but I think Green Bay is really well coached and really smart, and they're outside of Bakhtiari, the left tackle, they're really healthy. They remain a really good offensive line. So I think Green Bay beating them in Lambeau this weekend, I think you're asking too much. That's a lot to ask. I don't think anybody in football can beat them at Lambeau today. Kansas City, Buffalo, I don't think anybody can. That's how I feel. Brandon Staley, in his 30s, is the new football coach of the LA Chargers. He was the Rams defensive coordinator, mostly considered a long shot for some of these jobs. And after the interview, he gets Justin Herbert. He gets this Chargers roster, which is significant. And Brandon Staley is now joining us live. Well, you know, we're talking about, first of all, congratulations, Brandon. Good for you. Congrats.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So let's talk. As a former Rams coordinator, just a couple weeks ago, you're facing Aaron Rodgers and you're facing Aaron Jones. And one of the things that kind of jumped out to me, they're so multiple. There's so much motion now with Matt LaFleur. So if I'm Todd Bowles in Tampa this weekend, you pick your poison. What do the Packers do as a defensive guy that is just really difficult to defend?
Yeah, they're really balanced, Colin. I think that they have a really, really good offensive line, and their tight ends really serve as extra elements of that. Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, those guys are really good players. And when they play three wide receivers, Alan Lazard, he's almost like another tight end. And then they've got three runners that really come at you. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon. You know, you always have somebody fresh in the game. And I think that that really helps out Aaron. Not that he needs a lot. And when you're operating at the level Aaron's operating at right now, there's very few that can reach that level. But when they're running the ball like that, it just makes Aaron more difficult to defend. And we all know about Davante Adams, one of the elite players in the league. And I think what Aaron's done is he's elevated all those other receivers. He's found a comfort zone with them. You know, Scanlon can take the top off. You know, Lazard is somebody he trusts. And then Devontae's as good as it gets. So, but, you know, it starts and ends with Aaron. And when he's playing like he is now, makes it difficult.
So when you faced him with the Rams, it was tough because Aaron Donald was not at 100%. In the first game where Green Bay struggled with Tampa, Brandon, they got pressure on Aaron and sometimes not blitzing, sometimes they did. Was it your belief when facing Aaron that you bring extra people, or did that give you discomfort that then you have a hole in the back end? Would you blitz against Aaron? How much confidence did you feel doing that?
You know, I think this guy's got the quickest trigger in the game. And I think especially on early downs, Colin, I don't know if that's a winning solution because the ball comes out so quickly. So I think that when when pressure can get to Aaron is more on third down, or if you have the lead and they're having to drop back to come back, I think that that's when, you know, that's a better solution. Because on first and second down, this ball is out quickly, whether it's in the RPO game, whether he's an empty, you know, that's one of the things that makes him so difficult is that he's difficult to pressure on early downs. And as you're aware of, he takes care of the football as well or better than anyone in the history of the game.
Yeah, you get all the upside. We were talking about the late Hank Aaron. You got the home runs without the strikeouts. With Aaron, you get the great plays. You don't get the turnovers. So it's those are once-in-a-generation players. Now, Kansas City's favored over Buffalo. I watched, when you were coordinator of the Rams this year, I watched the Rams-Buffalo game. They came out, jumped on you. You made adjustments, and Brandon, your defense had a very good second half. So Josh Allen, when you face him, huge arm, also moves. What issues, what did you do in the halftime to make the corrections? Because you shut the Bills down in the second half.
Yeah, it took us a little bit in that rhythm to get into a rhythm early in that game. And then after halftime, Colin, I think what we did a lot better job of is we knocked the run game out. And, you know, as you know, he's so special throwing it, and it sounds, you know, counterintuitive, but if you don't knock the run game out against players like Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers and you give them a two-way go, then you got no chance. You have no chance to be successful. So we were able to knock some of that run game out, and then, you know, then some of our pass rush and our pressure stuff were able to get to him, and then we turned him over in that second half twice, and that really tilted the momentum of the game. And, you know, we gave ourselves a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
Not only a chance to win, you got kind of a bad call. You should have won that football game. We don't need to talk about it, but it was a bad call.
that was a great game. And I really felt like, cause we, you know, I've three out of the four guys still playing. We've played those guys and, you know, Josh, just so much respect for him, but you know, we felt like we had a good enough team to go a long way.
So you did have some success against Tom Brady. Brandon Staley joining us, the new Charger coach. Tom is not, their run game has been a little hit and miss. Ronald Jones is very explosive. Tom's not going to move in the pocket. But Tom challenged you as a defensive coordinator with the Rams because he can do so much pre-snap. He's a wizard back there. So what will Green Bay's defense face that really is frustrating when you face Brady?
I think the command pre and post snap, there's just not a look that you're going to give him that he hasn't seen. And I think, you know, we caught Tom, I think, at a good time. It was at the, you know, that midpoint of the year where I don't think he had really settled into a rhythm with that offense. And I think what you saw over the last five games and then moving into the playoffs is, you know, he's found that comfort zone. He's found that rhythm and that timing with his skill players. And as you're aware, that skill group is as good as there is, you know, that we certainly face during the season. It's deep, runner, receiver, tight end. And I think that, you know, what makes Tom so difficult is that he sees the field as well as anybody in pro football. And he's as an accurate of thrower inside the numbers as anybody that's ever played. And, you know, and then he's such a clutch player. And, you know, that's why this game is going to be really fun to watch this weekend.
So you take the Chargers job. I will be the first to admit, I thought it surprised me. I thought you were going to be a viable candidate. People spoke well of you. And so congratulations. You're a former college quarterback at Dayton, by the way, the Flyers, very good school, by the way. In fact, is Dayton a private school? Is it?
Yeah, Marianist School, Catholic.
Yeah. It's very good. I know this. I got a lot of kids, Brandon. They're going to colleges. They wanted to apply to Dayton. But when you took the Chargers job, even though you're a defensive coach, you had to, part of the attraction had to be Justin Herbert, who was shot out of a cannon last year, was tapped on the shoulder before the Mahomes game with the Chiefs. I would have been so nervous, walked in, went toe-to-toe. How much of it was, oh, my Lord, I can get Justin Herbert?
You know, I think anybody that's interested in football, Colin, you know, knows that the quarterback position is so vital to your success. And I think what was exciting for me, Colin, was being at the beginning of his football journey. I think that that's equally as exciting to be with a young quarterback at the beginning of his career. And I think as a defensive coach, former quarterback, I think seeing the way he expressed himself this year, you know, global pandemic, no offseason, no training camp, no preseason, for him to play the way he did this year. And I thought, you know, something that I was so impressed about was just the way he played in 2 minutes. I think the special quarterbacks in the league play their best at the end, you know, when you got to have it, when you're behind, or, you know, it's that end of game, 2 minute situations when you got to have it. And I thought he just showed command, poise, precision, and, you know, certainly to be, you know, partnering up with him at the beginning of his career, you know, that's so exciting.
You know, Brandon, the good news, bad news. The good news is you actually got the best job available, and one of the reasons it's the best job available, you've got a really good roster. I think the offensive line needs to be cleaned up a little bit. Now, the bad news is you're not going to be given a ton of time here. The Chargers have a history of being patient, but this is a good football team. This football team can win now very quickly. Do you sense that pressure?
You know, Colin, I think you just have to look at each circumstance as it has a life of its own, and I think there's high expectations for, you know, the NFL, no matter what team that you play for or you compete with. And I think what the great competitors do, Colin, is they're not worried about anybody else, you know, and I think that was certainly my mindset going into this opportunity is, you know, my full focus is on the Chargers and for us to get with these players, to start the relationships that are so important and then get to the competition of working with these guys at their game, you know, developing identities in all three phases of the game, you know, bringing our building together, you know, creating a clear vision and then a process on how to get there. And I think, you know, you talked about the players that we have and that's what's so exciting. But the key to winning in the NFL is becoming a team. And that's where our focus is going to be. And I can't wait to get started with a lot of the players that you are fully aware of.
Yeah, it's a really, really good roster. His name is Brandon Staley. He was a very young coordinator. A lot of people say he's the McVay on the defensive side. We're crossing our fingers. Brandon, absolute pleasure. Good luck to you. Say hi to Tom Telesco, one of the sharp guys in the sport. Thanks, man.
Will do, Colin. Nice to meet you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Brandon Staley. Yeah, very rarely do you get a good roster. You know, Joy and I talked about this earlier this week. Matt LaFleur not only got a good roster, he got Aaron Rodgers. So you're not getting Aaron Rodgers here, but generally speaking, you get Detroit's roster or Jacksonville's or Atlanta where you have cap hell and maybe a good quarterback. Chargers ready to win. I mean, the only downside to that is Mahomes in the same division, but they're ready to win now. All right, good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Eric Bieniemy seemed to be a top head coaching candidate this year and last year, but he still hasn't gotten hired. There's only one opening left for the 2021 season, but Bieniemy is taking his long journey to a head coaching job in stride.
It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish.
He has reportedly a good chance of landing the Texans job. Obviously, Deshaun Watson made it clear he wanted them to interview Eric Bieniemy, and so that's a possibility. According to the Houston Chronicle, he's under heavy consideration by the team, along with Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier.
Now, Leslie's been, he was a Vikings coach for a time, so one's an offensive guy, one's a defensive guy. I will say this. Deshaun Watson makes it a better than average job.
Yes.
Let's take away the dysfunction. I still contend it's the perfect time to move off J.J. Watt. Get picks. You can't tell me J.J. Watt is not attracted to a couple of winning organizations.
Sure.
And clear up cap space. They not only have a talent deficit issue, Joy, they have a cap problem. And you have to make tough decisions. You can't get rid of Deshaun, and you can't get rid of Laremy Tunsil. And this is not a shot at J.J. Watt, but when you're a pass rusher, get to that trading deadline next year, you know, as we saw Seattle do this with Carlos Dunlap. You can't win a Super Bowl with a terrible pass rush. I think they have a cap issue beyond getting the right coach issue.
Well, every time that you're traded doesn't necessarily mean that you're bad or that you're
done. That's right.
DeAndre Hopkins was traded from that team, and he has clearly plenty more to contribute.
Well, you get something in return for it.
Right, right. So I agree with you. And also, I'd like to see J.J. Watt in a situation where he has an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Playing this weekend.
Right. And Houston is far from that. Deshaun obviously makes this a better job. Deshaun is a star. We know that. We know what he's capable of. The numbers that he put up this year in an incredibly dysfunctional year are staggering.
Let me throw one at you. Where would J.J. Watt prefer to end his career? Green Bay Packers. He played at Wisconsin. Family's from Wisconsin. Packers go, listen, we have a good defense. We really like our secondary and backers. We don't have a consistent pass rush. J.J. Watt says, I'll redo my contract. I'll end it in Green Bay. Because that's the kind of team you'd want him on. Like, you don't need any offensive help. They have a very good cap situation. They can afford one a year or two hit. And I bet you J.J. Watt would redo his contract to help the Packers. J.J. Watt, Green Bay, ends his career playing in conference championships.
I don't hate that. As far as Eric Bieniemy goes, he is eventually going to get a head coaching job. I think he's being very calculated with where he goes. Houston, I think, would be good for him with Deshaun because at least the two of them would be on the same page. But I don't like anything else that's going on there. And the front office does not going to change. So I don't know how you're really setting yourself up for success there, no matter who goes there with that kind of front office. So Tom Brady is one game away from yet another Super Bowl appearance. And if he can beat the Packers on Sunday, he will keep a very improbable streak alive. Each time he has lost in week one of the regular season, he ended up playing in the Super Bowl. In 2003 and 2014, Brady's Patriots won the Super Bowl after starting the season 0-1. In 2017, he made it to the big game, but he lost to the Eagles. And Brady and the Bucs lost their opener this year, 34-23 to the Saints.
Here's the thing. If Brady... This is going to be, not that it's damaging to Aaron Rodgers' legacy. It's not. But it doesn't do it any favors if 43-year-old Tom Brady with no AB walks into Lambeau and beats Aaron Rodgers and Aaron's a favorite. Monday, what's our lead? Our lead is like, you want to know why he's the GOAT?
I think it depends on how he plays. Like,
what if Aaron is tight?
If Aaron... Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how Aaron plays. Like, if Aaron has an unbelievable game and the defense falls apart...
That's not an issue.
Then, you know, that's not really the issue there. But there's a lot of stories that could come out of this game. Honestly, I'm leaning towards the Packers in this game as well. I think they're the most complete and healthy team at this point in the season. But it's why I like the Bucs last week. And I picked the Saints at the beginning of the season, and I think that the Saints have the better roster. But this is Tom Brady in the playoffs. Like, we've seen this many, many times. And I know it's not all on Tom Brady, but he just makes things happen.
He does. He wins games he shouldn't.
He's been touched. Like,
listen, they won a Super Bowl over Seattle, and I contend physically Seattle had 10 of the top 15 players. That Super Bowl, Seattle was a better football team significantly than New England in terms of overall talent, and they won the Super Bowl.
That's what makes this game so compelling, because obviously the Packers are the better overall team and the healthier team, and Aaron Rodgers is MVP. It's Tom Brady. So Dwayne Haskins signed with the Steelers yesterday. He'll have a chance to redeem himself in Pittsburgh after a rough ending to his time in Washington. And his former teammate, Alex Smith, had some advice on how Haskins can take advantage of the opportunity.
The first thing that I hope with Dwayne, and I've told him this, is you don't have a chance until you have eliminated a lot of the distractions going on in your life. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there was a lot working against him here the last 2 years. That didn't allow him to reach his potential, because he's a guy that is crazy talented and he's a good kid. And I think you have to be able to eliminate all that other stuff, because none of it matters if you can't go out there and play at a high level.
Well, Alex Smith would know. He was there. And as he said, he told him that. I think a part of what happened with Dwayne Haskins is why I think the research that you do in the draft is so important as far as maturity goes.
For quarterbacks, yes.
Other positions are not going to be scrutinized the same way. Other positions don't have the same level of expectations and responsibility that the quarterback does. You're the guy, so you've got to be the guy before you become the guy.
The term I would use to succeed at quarterback in the NFL... uniquely mature.
Yeah.
Because if you took the average guy at 23 years old, they're all immature. Go to Twitter for 5 minutes.
I was immature at 23.
Everybody was. So when you get a star quarterback, Baker Mayfield is very much your average 23-year-old. That's why so many people support him. They're like, what he's doing is not bad. That's what you do. But 99% of you could never be at 23 a franchise quarterback. You're not mature enough.
Right, but that's the point. Like, so if you are in a position to become a franchise quarterback, you're already different than everyone else.
That's right.
You're already in a very small percentage of people who are even given this opportunity, let alone to possibly become a franchise quarterback, then to get the opportunity to prove you're a franchise quarterback, and then become a franchise quarterback. So the 1% of the 1% of 1%. So, yes. There's otherworldly expectations of you, as there should be.
99% of men watching me, forget the physical attributes, are simply not mature enough at 23 to run a $5 billion franchise. Forget the physical stuff.
Right.
You're not. You defend Baker Mayfield. Like, he wasn't ready. What did the GM of the Cleveland Browns say 2 days ago? Baker grew up. But the problem is teams don't have to, they don't have time to wait until you're 26 and 27 usually. You've got to be ready to go. Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady,
and
Peyton Manning.
And our patience is getting shorter by the second.
That's right.
If you are mature, but you are a raw talent, teams might be more patient with you.
For about
example,
a year.
Josh Allen.
Right.
So there is a wave. It's not a set standard or a box if you have the capabilities. I do think the Steelers is a good place for him. Again, I would like the Steelers to actually invest in the future of that position. Maybe they feel like they are. The Steelers are a stable organization. Washington has been a little up and down over
good
the past
receivers,
couple of years.
Good receivers.
They have good weapons. Mike Tomlin. Yeah. It's a good situation for him. He's an upgrade from Mason Rudolph, which I like.
Think about this. Josh Allen's first year, he completes 52% of his throws. Last year, 56. This year, he's a star. If this year he completed 59%, half the room in Buffalo is he's done.
I think everyone
like,
would be
like
done.
Like, this
after
was
years,
the year.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Josh, we know you're gifted. You got to grow up now. You got to get adult fast. He did. So you, with your talent, we'll give you, like, I don't think Dwayne Haskins is in Josh Allen talent. So we'll give you an extra year. But even Josh Allen, had he been 59% again this year, half the room is like, they'd have big conversations
yeah,
about redrafting.
It was never a maturity issue with Josh Allen because everyone in that building loved him.
But then, like, to your point, we don't got 3 years for you to figure it out.
No.
You got to be ready to go.
No.
And Dwayne just wasn't. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
in
News.
In terms of pure talent, who is the best team? Who is the worst team? Is Buffalo really better than Kansas City? Our next guest, former scout, knows.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, it's interesting. I was sitting down this morning with the staff. 7 AFC quarterbacks and 7 NFC quarterbacks could change. We were talking about teams that could change. Now, I think Miami's a long shot to draft a quarterback, and I think Carolina may, but Teddy Bridgewater will start for the next 2 years. But there's just so much movement at quarterback. You got Garoppolo, we've heard stories, Matt Stafford. We know teams like New England have to make a move. So Daniel Jeremiah is an NFL scout formerly of the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Browns. Terrific. He does the Chargers analyst work here in Los Angeles. Somebody I really trust on Twitter, it's at Move the Sticks. Joy Taylor works with him. Daniel Jeremiah is now joining us, former scout for 3 teams. So I think this is interesting. Let's go. You released your mock draft. So now you're not predicting just who are the best players. These are where you think guys go. So let's start with the number 2 pick. Zach Wilson goes to the Jets. So you have Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields. You do have Carolina taking Justin, which makes sense to me. So why do you like Zach Wilson more than Justin Fields?
He played better. When you watch him this year, I don't think it was really close when you just study the tape and what he did. And I know with Zach Wilson, people are going to say, oh, who was he playing for? Who was he playing against? The competition. The throws that you see from him, Colin, they translate in any level of football against any opponent. I mean, they are wow throws. He's just loose. He's natural. There's a great instinctive flair to his game. He's an exciting player. The durability and the frame is a little bit of the concern, but when we see him on the hoof and we see the measurables, it's going to be darn near identical to Aaron Rodgers. So he's a talented player.
You have Atlanta at 4 taking Trey Lance. Now, I've seen his YouTube stuff. He's very active. That's all I get. You've seen more. Why do you like him more than Justin Fields?
It really just came down to decision making. I mean, both these guys are what you want in terms of the physical tools. Big, strong. Justin Fields is a little bit faster. But you look at Lance, he can really run. They use him on some of the design quarterback run stuff as well. Competition level, a big difference, of course. But the decision making for Trey Lance, he didn't turn the ball over in 2019. He didn't have a pick. He threw his first pick in the only game he played this year. But he just makes outstanding decisions. There's a lot on his plate in that offense. If you remember going back to Carson Wentz coming out from there, under center, in the gun, protections, all that stuff has been handled with him. He doesn't have a lot of experience, Colin. You know, he's a 1-year starter. So there's going to be some patience with him. But I think you're going to need some patience with Justin Fields as well. I think this is kind of a 2 or 3 year play for both those guys going forward.
So let's talk. You have Justin Fields 8 to Carolina. Many think he's the 2. What concerns you?
Well, there's times where he just gets a little bit stuck and locked on, and which causes him to be late on some throws. It causes him to take too many sacks. You know, there's some bad tape this year. When you watch what Northwestern did, when you watch the Indiana game, was not a great game for him. And then I know, you know, he was phenomenal against Clemson. It is probably the best quarterback tape that anybody had this year, was his game against Clemson. So I know it's in there. I know he can do it. But there's still things he needs to work on, really just speeding up his clock. When number one is there, when number one in the progression is there, he can let it rip. He can make every type of throw with velocity and accuracy. But when that's taken away, sometimes he just takes a little bit too long to get through the rest.
Okay, so I said yesterday there's about 3 or 4 players a draft that I think are can't miss. Other players, I think landing spot and coaching matters. My 3 were Trevor Lawrence, Penei Sewell, the left tackle from Oregon, and Pitts, the tight end from Florida. Who are your – do you have 3 guys that – landing spots irrelevant. They're just going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I have my top 50 list, which will come out next week, and it'll give you a little sneak peek. The top 3 players to me, Trevor Lawrence, you know, would fall in that category. Right after him, to me, I think Ja'Marr Chase from LSU and what he brings to the table would fall in that category. And then you go Kyle Pitts from Florida, the tight end. I think all those guys are unique, rare players that have, you know, the traits that you want, the competitiveness that you want, and the production that you're looking for. So to me, those are 3 guys, 1, 2, 3 best players in the draft.
All right, I want everybody to look at this again. Daniel Jeremiah, his first mock draft. This is one of the mock drafts I really depend on because I'm a mock draft nerd, and I sit around at night eating crackers looking at everybody's mock draft. His is great. So the one thing that jumped out to me, you have Kyle Pitts going to the Niners at 12, but George Kittle, that's the – that will look like a pro wrestling thing. You're going to have guys that don't even look like other NFL players. My first takeaway is poor Sean McVay. Poor Pete Carroll. So you love Pitts the player as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. And that's why I think sometimes people struggle with the difference between a mock draft and how you rank the players in your top 50 list. Because what happens in a draft like this one, Colin, when you have 4 quarterbacks go in the top 8 picks, it's going to push people down. When you have teams with young quarterbacks with terrible offensive lines, you're going to see some teams go a little bit more towards need. And then you also have, when you look at the teams picking in the top 10, you look at Miami, who has Mike Gesicki. They're probably going to look to add a receiver. They feel okay at the tight end position. TJ Hockenson already went to the Lions. They've invested in a first-round tight end. So that's how you get a player as special as Kyle Pitts. The third best player in the draft could fall outside of the top 10. And I knew 49er fans were going to freak out and say, well, we've got George Kittle. Why the heck would we want this kid? Because smart teams don't pass up players like this. And this is a gift if he somehow got to them. And with the positionless player movement that we're headed towards, you break the huddle with Kittle, with Pitts, with Ayuk, and with Deebo Samuel.
Oh,
you don't know who's lining up in the backfield, who's lining up at receiver, who's lining up at tight end. I mean, can you imagine Shanahan with his creativity, what he would do with that?
Oh, my Lord. And they're all physical. They're all physical. Yeah. They had a fit. And that's what, by the way, John Lynch loves that. So does Shanahan. They're like big physical guys. All right. So Daniel Jeremiah works with Joy. You're lucky. She's great to work with. So he's got Trevor Lawrence 1 to Urban Meyer and the Jags, Zach Wilson, and Ja'Marr Chase. By the way, I only got a minute left. Sam Darnold, if you're the Jets, that means they're probably going to trade him. What's he worth?
Well, I think before the season, I would have said you get a 1. And then going through the season, I thought, man, you're not getting a 1. So you're looking at maybe a combination of some later picks. The interesting thing, Colin, when you look at who they hired and where they came from, do you think they might know what Kyle Shanahan thinks of Sam Darnold and what his value is from teams outside the league? I think that'll benefit them as they go through this process. But you mentioned it there. I'm not the lucky one. You're the lucky one because you get to work with Joy every single day.
Yes.
I only got to work with her one day a week.
You're right.
I've always known Joy was great from watching you, but working with her, it takes it to a whole nother level. She is the best.
Thanks, DJ. You are the best. Daniel, thank you very much. Daniel Jeremiah, thanks, buddy.
See you, man.
Yes, Joy. Let's not go too crazy. Listen, I got to work with her Monday through Friday. Start puffing it up here, and it's going to be nothing but, you know.
I'm going to start getting unruly.
Yeah, unruly, exactly. I said one nice thing about Goulet giving me hockey scores. Yeah, I've had to deal with this for, you know, a lot of years.
Black Rifle. Consequences of flattery.
There we go. Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, serving premium coffee. I just talked to the people there yesterday that love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. 20% off your first coffee club order. It's really good. This show is flying by. You know, it's an anniversary today in sports. I want to get to that next, The Herd.